This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Get it together, bud.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's Major League. It's a movie come to life.
Yes. Rich.
And, you know, the movie Major League is a comedy, and so are the Oakland A's.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. ESPN senior NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler. ESPN NBA analyst Brian Windhorst. Spurs television analyst Michelle Beadle. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, the final Monday of June. We're almost halfway through 2023. My goodness, what a time. And we're on the air live here on the Roku channel. And we're also live on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, live on Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners. It's your God-given right to listen to us whenever you want. It is called On Demand. Listening On Demand, our podcast is available where you can get any single old podcast. Ours stands out. We also are available on demand on our Rich Eisen Show collection page, part of our relationship with Roku and the Roku channel. And we're also, you can check us out on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Christopher Brockman?
Hey, Rich.
It's a lavender day for you, huh? You went lavender.
I think this is just purple.
I like it. Lilac. You went lilac on us.
I did a lot of yard work yesterday. I cleaned my gutters.
Look at you.
Very sore.
Very good.
Very sore. Weird,
sore.
Weird muscles that I was using.
It's like pickleball. No. How are you over there, no. Jason Feller? How are
What's
you?
What's up, Rich?
DJ Mikey D's coming back from something.
He's doing the soccer thing we think.
I thought it was the USFL he was
that
doing.
That was this weekend. I'm talking about today.
Oh, okay, great. How are you, TJ? What's going on over there, sir? TJ Jefferson is here on the Rich
it's
Eisen
all good.
Show.
If you ever want to know what Del Tuvo's doing, just go to his Instagram because he's going to give you in detail everything he's doing.
Fantastic.
With a lot, of weird GIFs and emojis. Yeah.
Because again, we're in that time of year. Straight up, always shoot you straight. We're in that time of year where we're looking for stuff to talk about.
Uh-huh.
For instance, this sports weekend, some of the big to-dos that actually pop through on your Twitter feed. You know, when there's not a coup going on in Russia, what pops through on the old Twitter feed is you know, Keegan Bradley, right? He won the Travelers, right?
He did.
And
course record.
Course record. I have played on that course, TPC of Cromwell, out there in beautiful central Connecticut.
Yeah.
Back in my ESPN days, there's if they dragged one of the lakes, you'd find a lot of my my pellets. Okay. there's a big to-do. You know, It was called a hometown victory for him. He's not from Connecticut. He's from the New England area.
He's a New Englander.
People
yeah.
are freaking out
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a for instance.
Yep.
That's the story. Mm-hmm. What Rory is, he carped on the course, right?
Rory said it's a little too easy now.
Or he crapped on the course and carped about the course.
Okay. He played pretty well over the weekend.
So there's that. Oh, wait a minute. Here's the other thing. Ellie De La Cruz. We told you about this young man in Cincinnati. 21-year-old switch hitter. He had a cycle on Friday night as the Reds won their 12th game in a row, but the Braves pushed back in a weekend series against Cincinnati that I can only hope. Didn't think I would be saying this. I'd love to see that one in October.
For sure.
Fun games. Acuna and Ellie De La Cruz in the same field at the same time.
High scoring. All one-run games. Very fun.
Also, another thing to talk about. Top story, I think. All weekend long, Victor Wembanyama making Tim Duncan and the Admiral, David Robinson, look like point guards. I don't know where this was in San Antonio.
Look how small Ginobili
is. I don't know
is.
Where it was, but you're just like Sean Elliott's on the left and Tim Duncan's on the right. And David Robinson is in the middle and Manu Ginobili looks like, you know,
like. Kid, put him in his pocket.
Exactly. Like, let's just get him. Let's just get him. Honestly, I'll be very straight up. If you put up that photograph,
He looks like the sommelier at the restaurant that they're at. Okay, like ask Manu what wine would pair well.
We have a beautiful Argentine red.
And honestly, David Robinson looks like just the dude who's like, hey, would you mind taking a picture for my son? You know,
my son Sean Elliott.
Oh my son! Oh my gosh! And by the way, just where was Tony Parker in this? He's like he's kind of like the only guy missing from this photograph, right?
Yeah.
He could be the one who took the photograph. I don't know. But couldn't ask for better role models. Victor Wembanyama tweets out. And by the way, he's so not wrong. That is completely spot on.
Yeah, nailed it.
Just reminding us all once again. Reminding us all once again what an incredible landing spot he has found for himself. And how the hype that we are going to get once the season hits is already at a fever pitch. Because I'm seeing this photograph with Robinson and Duncan and Sean Elliott and Manu Ginobili, and these guys are all going to be there pitching in. My gosh, talk about an alumni association, right? For him to have at his disposal, and they already clearly making themselves available to talk to him and welcome him and say, this is the way it works here. Talk about a Spurs culture. How about those guys talking over dinner, telling pop stories, right?
Pretty good.
For the kid.
And if you look at that picture again, just to put it in some type of reference for people.
Yes.
Sean Elliott, 6'8" tall.
Yes.
David Robinson is 7'1". Manu is 6'6". Okay.
It's not like a foot on Manu.
I mean, Manu Ginobili would by far be the biggest man in this whole campus if he start walking around.
Yes.
And look at that. It's unbelievable.
Yep. And that's also part of the hype that he's going to have to deal with because he's already being placed on par. He is. He's already, like, this is the next generation of Spurs star. And when I see the feedback on the old Twitterverse there that, you know, sort of like an eye-rolling response, like, okay, now he's got to go do it.
I mean,
I don't have any doubts. Do you have doubts that he's going to do it?
I mean, you know.
Do you like have a single doubt that he's going to be skill, as good as advertised?
Skill-wise, no. You kind of look at the body. But, you know, Brockman and I have been talking about this. I've been kind of reading a lot about Vic for like the last 2 years. And, Rich, the things that this kid has been doing to get himself ready for the NBA grind, like he has a diet that they made for him which really concentrates on the strengthening of bones, which I've never heard anyone doing before.
An like, osteoporosis way of looking at things.
Yeah, like he's been working on strengthening ligaments and tendons in his body for the last few years. So, you know, barring like a Chet Holmgren situation where his body just implodes because a brick wall named LeBron hit him, I mean, skill-wise, no, I'm not going to say the guy's going to be the greatest player ever, but I think he's going to be special.
And this year,
yeah.
Chris, do you have any doubts? Because the hype is, the hype is going to only intensify.
Mm-hmm. And well, the hype's been huge and astronomical for the last 6 months anyway. When we first saw this kid play, you know, for the Mets, and it's just, you know, rookies rarely come into the league and make an immediate impact to translate to wins and losses. You know, there's a grind. You know, it's the twice as many games as you're used to playing.
Yeah.
He is, you know, he's 220. But when stretch that out over 7'5", you know, looks kind of rail thin. I don't know. He's going to get dunked on a lot. He's going to, you know, guys are going to go after him. Can the Spurs make the playoffs? I want to see what else they add in free agency. Wouldn't shock me, though, if they're in the play-in next year.
But you guys have already hit on the one aspect that people are wondering if he's going to beef up or not. And it's his body. Mm-hmm. And it's his arms. That only got accentuated by our third hour guest interviewing him over the weekend and posting on our Twitter handle her rocked out right arm and Victor Wembanyama looking like Gumby, damn it, next to Michelle Beadle. who clearly had arm days that earlier in the day.
Also, the fact that they're sitting nine feet away from each other and it looks that close.
Well, I mean, yeah, she's definitely reaching out and leaning over.
And he's just like, eh.
Yeah, he's just, and he's leaning back.
He might alligator.
Is this a tug of war? I don't know. There you go.
Beto's looking swole in that picture.
He's so tall.
Michelle will be joining us in hour three to talk about what's going on there. Her boots are on the ground in San Antonio and have been for quite some time. Yeah. So as soon as I saw that photograph, I'm like, she actually interviewed Victor and she's right there. Maybe she took the photo. Like, she will definitely know where what restaurant that was, right, in San Antonio?
Yeah, I got to imagine.
Who picked up the check?
Ooh, good question.
If it's not Wembanyama, I don't know, get out of here, right?
I mean,
there has to still be some sort of pecking order here where he's picking up the check.
Yeah, he hasn't signed yet. He has no money.
Get out of here.
Oh, he's got Euro.
He hasn't signed anything.
He's a pro, bro. He's been a pro in Europe.
Exactly. He's got Euro.
And by the way,
if
this was the NFL, he would definitely be playing because they like to do that with the rookies, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, they would have put on another bottle of Screaming Eagle on him. If this is the NFL, so they've been ordering up.
They would have taxed
Tim Duncan's career earnings, $242 million.
Oh, I'm not saying those guys couldn't.
I'm just saying.
I know Del Tufo's got the Geico alligator arm drop somewhere there. I don't know how you have any chance of finding that in his system over there.
Can he spell alligator?
No, I don't. Look up Geico. I bet you that's his way of actually. I know if I had a guess about how he actually files his system. How he identifies things.
Geico.
Pick up the check.
Yeah. Oh, Hoskins might have it.
That's all right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here about anything that's on your mind. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN is up first. The conversation that I want to have with him is based on his reporting last week that the Vikings are going to take their time in signing Justin Jefferson to a new deal. And my two cents on seeing that was like,
playing with fire.
Well, I mean, not playing with fire. I mean, like, I don't think the guy's going to hold out because, again, this is his going into his fourth year. They have 1 year more of contractual control next year, picking up a fifth year option for him. And so this is the way it used to be for all rookies. And again, this is the way it used to be. I shouldn't say used to be because this is a system born in 2011. So we're only in our. It's only this system hasn't even been bar mitzvahed yet, okay? But it's coming up next year, by the way. Increments of 18, that's all I have to say. So was Justin Jefferson the 18th overall selection in the draft?
Oh, Rich.
I don't think so.
Hold on a second.
I don't think he was the high draft for the Wilfs. But long story short is this system was set up so players like Justin Jefferson wouldn't have to get paid after just 3 years of electric work at the wide receiver position.
22nd pick.
Close enough. Mazel tov to his career so far. But the system was set up so these guys, like Justin Jefferson, did not have to get paid. And if I'm not mistaken, it was the Eagles and Rams who signed Jared Goff and Carson Wentz to contracts, their second contracts, earlier than anybody expected. And I think that started the trend of after 3 years at the quarterback spot, you got your second deal. If you were somebody who was clearly generationally talented and going to cost a heck of a lot more money for the team if they waited. And Justin Jefferson, I think, is going to try and strike a blow for the wide receiver spot. And the Vikings might be sitting here and saying, we're not going to do it. And the question is how does that affect this young man? And why wouldn't the Vikings do it? Because he's only going to get more expensive. Odell signed 1 year, $18 million, right? You know DeAndre Hopkins is going to try and do something. The market's kind of pushing back a bit on the wide receiver spot. Mm-hmm. We all know the market's pushed back on the running back spot and tipped it over when you've got Dalvin Cook sitting out there now adding to the glut that has Zeke, Leonard Fournette sitting ATC right now.
At the crib.
So that's what kind of sparked our interest in getting Jeremy Fowler here to start this conversation. Also on this show, Overreaction Monday, which always has an NFL tinge to it. Also on this show, we've got, as the request of one of our callers last week. Did you write down who it was?
I did not write down who it was. I wrote down the subject.
Our apology for not recalling. The shows, they all, you know.
I think it was a J.
They come so fast.
I think it was a J.
They come too fast. But the caller said, you know what? I would like to get a top five, like request for a top five list. So rare to get one. Top five juiciest Super Bowl matchups of the upcoming NFL season.
I think he was a Seahawks fan.
I will, in fact, deliver what was so appreciated from this caller that we forgot to write down the caller's name.
There we go. You should probably remember what it was.
Please. Really?
Wasn't it like James?
Really?
I think it was somebody from Seattle.
What's wrong with you?
Hold on a second. Chris.
Why did Adam just take a stray?
He didn't take a stray. That was a full-on headshot.
Hold on a second. With all due respect.
John Wick headshot?
Two things. One, do you think you'd remember?
Yes.
Two.
I got to back out.
Two, do you think he's even listening to the show right now? screening the calls.
50-50.
Write him a note.
He's on the phone with someone right now. Someone's calling
him.
Well,
because
right
he's too. Is he picking it up? He's not even picking it. Hold on a second.
Oh, hey, wait.
I'm listening, and then he wrote a-holes. Thanks, Adam. I earned that. I earned it.
That's on you.
I earned it.
That's on you.
That one's on me.
He didn't answer the question.
No, he's doing his job.
Yeah, someone's calling in.
But he's listening. Thanks for listening, Adam. That's one.
That was funny.
I think this is the guy.
Yes. Okay. It's my first. It's my first show as a 54-year-old Jets cheerleader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Yep. So I'll have a little bit of that for you.
Awesome baby with a capital A.
Yeah, and we send our best to Dickie V. Apparently, he has another voice surgery that he said he's undertaking right now. Yeah. Okay, let's take a break. Jeremy Fowler of the Worldwide Leader in Sports. Is Brock Purdy going to be ready for the season?
Ooh.
A lot of optimism coming out of San Francisco. And I know that because I read the papers, I hear what the coach is saying, and I'm not getting direct information from the 49ers. Okay? Finally addressing that.
Are you getting accused of being a mouthpiece?
Have you not heard about that?
No.
Someone said you were a mole?
No, that's funny.
Dude, it got Googled and talked about on Google so much. Xander, before he went to camp, came up to me.
I was like, Dad, are you a 49er or mole?
He said some. Okay.
Oh, wow.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
The average on-farm income in the United States was a loss of $1,100. 60% of U.S. pork comes from one company, wholly owned by the Chinese. And farmers are more likely to commit suicide than veterans. Folks, we got a problem. I'm Lucinda, 8th-generation farmer and founder of Moink. Moo plus Oink. We offer grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon, shipped straight from the heart of rural America. Come stand shoulder to shoulder with us by putting the family farm at the center of your supper table. What's in it for you? You mean besides saving the family farm and enjoying the highest quality meat on God's green earth? Geez, want me to hang the moon for you too? I'd love to.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum right now and get a free gift in your first order.
Get to getting while the getting is good.
Go to moinkbox.com/yum. Moinkbox.com/yum.
I guarantee you're fixing to say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got moinked.
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
How many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Ah, yes, we're back here on the program.
Yes.
I appreciate Adam for listening to the program while he screens the calls. That's number one, Adam. I apologize for calling your dedication and professionalism into question. I also appreciate, since I was the one who did it, you respond with, I'm listening, a-holes, plural.
A-holes.
I am just, I'll take the my bad on that.
You're plural also.
Oh, okay. That's how big of one I am?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'm excluding myself and TJ.
Well, it's stipulated you are the like, if there's anybody who's the a-hole of the RES, it's clearly you.
I can feel it.
I'll take that.
And we found out through Mike Hoskins, our coordinating producer, Dane in Washington, was the one who called last week and said, hey, I'd like to request a top five list from you. The top five list being the top five juiciest Super Bowl matchups of 2023. And I came up with ones that I think are they're in the realm of possibility.
The realm of juicy?
They're all juicy.
Oh, okay.
But you could, you know.
They're actually.
Could I put like DeAndre Hopkins' future team against the Cardinals?
Right. Like you didn't.
Like the Cardinals, I don't think are, with all due respect, making the Super Bowl.
You don't have Texans Cardinals on the list.
Correct.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
That'd be a long shot.
They are. I mean, so I'm kind of went back and forth on it.
I understand.
But since I was home alone all weekend, literally, like the Kevin of this situation here.
Don't forget your dogs.
That's true. At any rate, long story short, I came up with that list because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional. And I also knew there'd be very little to talk about of newsworthiness on the spot.
Not much
newsworthiness. So we're making it up as we go along here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back on the air. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Jeremy Fowler of the worldwide leader in sports, NFL information man, and so much more back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Jeremy?
Hey, I'm good, Rich. Thanks for having me. I'm thinking about that Super Bowl dream matchup. I got Jets-Cowboys.
Jets-Cowboys. I'll be honest with you. It's not on my list.
Ooh.
It's not on my list. But what is that? That's Rodgers versus Mike McCarthy in Dallas.
Yes.
Being in it would just be the juicy aspect of it. Dallas versus Jets.
That would make us happy.
No doubt.
Well, it would be on and cracking.
30 plus years or however long it's been for Dallas. I mean, yeah.
There you go. Okay.
It'd be perfect.
Yes, and I know exactly how long it's been for the Jets since it was the year I was born, and I just turned 54 2 days ago, Jeremy, so I don't have to do too much math on that. 54 years now. So let me just jump in. What is your reporting on Justin Jefferson and what's going on with him and the Vikings for a new contract, despite him being only 3 years in to the league?
Well, it's my understanding that Minnesota is open to doing it. They're committed to signing him long-term at some point. I know it's going to be a massive windfall for Jefferson, that he's going to probably have to be close to the highest paid quarterback that's not a passer in the league. We're talking Aaron Donald type money potentially, but I don't think they're there yet. I think they've gotten the ball rolling on some preliminary talks, and you know, look, Jefferson wasn't at OTAs. I was told it wasn't a direct reflection of the contract situation, but who knows with these type of things. He could be upset that the ball's not further along here. So we could see this heat up closer to training camp or well into training camp. It's just tough because the track record recently for guys that aren't quarterbacks to get a deal after 3 years on a first-round player contract, because the team has 2 years left with that fifth-year option. So it just makes it tough. I mean, even Nick Bosa and guys like that had to wait a year. So you know, that could be. I was told it's going to be tough to do because of the sheer money that would have to be involved. But the Vikings are going to sort of chip away at this.
How many wide receivers have gotten a contract, first-round drafted wide receiver gotten a new contract after 3 years? Would Jefferson be the first? Is this a groundbreaker right here, Jeremy?
So I have to look back. I don't remember offhand. There had to have been one. But it's so beneficial for guys who are not picked in the first round. I mean, just this last year, you had Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown, Debo Samuel, D.K. Metcalf. You know, Jefferson is higher in the receiver pantheon than those guys, but yet all very good players who got deals after 3 years because they weren't beholden to that fifth-year option of first-round pick. So it's rare. There's got to be one out there, but I don't know of one offhand.
That's why I'm kind of bringing it up, is just wondering if there is a pressurized situation where the Vikings know this is what they need to do for a player of his stature. They know this is what they have to do for a player of his stature to let everyone in the locker room know if you ball out, we are going to give you what you feel you deserve. They know they've got to do it sooner rather than later because the price is only going to go up. But there's definitely 31 other teams that might be looking at him saying, what are you doing? Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, if they want to justify the contract now, they can do it, you know, because of the caliber of the player. Really, probably the best player at his position right now. So if you're going to reward anybody who's not a quarterback, he would be that guy. But this is the game, right? You start probably lower than you need to be with the money. You know, the player gets upset. you know, you posture a little bit. Maybe you can bridge the gap before the season, but if you don't, you can do it next summer, and it's going to cost the team a little bit more because they waited. But a lot of times teams are willing to do that. The Vikings are in a really interesting place because of the new GM and head coach. They had a lot of success last year, but they won a lot of close games. Who knows if they can replicate it, but they're kind of rebuilding on the fly while they stay competitive because they know they have Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson and those guys, and the offense is going to be pretty good. But they moved on from a lot of players. You got Danielle Hunter, who my understanding is if he's not getting a new deal from them, he'd like to go somewhere else where they will give him a new deal. So they're kind of slow playing that. You know, Jefferson, they haven't got to the finish line on. So, Kirk Cousins is pretty much, this is maybe the most underrated, underplayed story in the league, is that he's going into free agency. This is a top 12 quarterback with no contract, and it looks like he's going to play it out and has bet on himself time and time again. So the Vikings are trying to, I think, saddle themselves from some of those older contracts that were bloated on the back end to try to reset their books. But in the meantime, you have some players that could be frustrated as a result.
Certainly if they lose Dalvin Cook, right? Where they're like, so we're not paying Dalvin, so the money that you're saving, doesn't that come to some of us who are waiting for it? Like, that's the way I sometimes see how NFL locker rooms work, and to the detriment if something doesn't happen before playing season. Certainly with the division no longer having Aaron Rodgers in it, I'm sure everybody kind of feels like the Wicked Witch is dead. Let's go try and win, as the Vikings did last year, to try and repeat.
Right. You know? And so they're yes, and you would think so, but they're kind of trying to stay competitive while scale back some money. Like Dalvin Cook, I think they would have brought him back on a reduced salary, which he was never going to go for. It's just some of those, you know, sort of machinations are in play. Where there's going to be a little bit of player frustration, but like they know with what they have in place of the offense, they're going to be able to put up points. And yes, the division is wide open. You almost sense a little more urgency from Detroit than you do Minnesota. Like talking to people around the league, Detroit feels like, hey, this is our division to lose right now. Like we're going to go get it. And they have some cap space if they want to make an additional move for a leftover free agent out there. I don't sense that they're going to go after Hopkins or anything like that, but I could see them adding a veteran receiver, maybe like a Jarvis Landry type, you know. So two different franchises that are in different places. You know, funny enough, Detroit was probably in the same place a year ago that Minnesota is now, even though Minnesota is coming off a 13-win season. But same sort of rebuild functions, trying to sort of stockpile a little bit of money and draft picks.
Jeremy Fowler, NFL insider from ESPN here on the Rich Eisen Show. And the timing of everything, you know, pretty much everyone's on vacation. And, you know, right now, this is when general managers and everyone else in front offices look to their families and reintroduce themselves and say, this is our time before training camp starts. And I'm just wondering, because, again, this new league year, as all new league years in March, did have a lot going on, Jeremy. But Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, you just mentioned Jarvis Landry. There's Zeke Elliott. There's Leonard Fournette. I mean, I could go on and on and on here. And contracts for Herbert and Burrow, not to mention what we just discussed with Justin Jefferson. What's the timing on all of this, do you think, here?
Well, like you said, I think we're in a lull right now. And closer to mid-July training camp, I think there'll be more action. Like if you're Dalvin Cook, and I do think this is a factor, you're going to see probably what happens with those franchise tag guys. You got three running backs on the franchise tag. Not that you're necessarily guaranteed to make $10 million from a team, which is what the tag is right now for Barkley and those guys, but those are three more comps that you can sort of wait on and see what happens. You know, Hopkins, I continue to hear, he just hasn't been in a major rush. He knows the Titans and the Patriots want him. I believe there's, from what I've heard, there's mutual interest and respect between the Patriots and Hopkins. Like, there was a good vibe when he was on the visit that he would be interested in playing there. So we'll see what that means as far as a potential contract. But yeah, you have players like Yannick Ngakoue too, that where teams feel like, okay, we might be a piece or two away now. We've gotten better. Like if you're Chicago, you know, you need probably a pass rusher, maybe Carolina. These are things where you'd love to sign a guy like that for $5 or $6 million, but he probably won't take that. So you're going to wait it out and see what happens closer to July, or some players will wait till there's an injury. Like all these running backs are in a tough spot because of the money that's dried up at that position, except for the exception of Dalvin Cook because he's still only 27, still some prime years left, still a top 10 running back. But, you know, if you're Fournette or Kareem Hunt or some of these guys, I could see them waiting into camp to see if somebody gets hurt potentially.
Yeah, and then camp hits and we're going to get some answers soon. I mean, a lot of questions we've been having for weeks and months get answered in short order. Who do you think the starting quarterback for the 49ers is going to be this year, Jeremy?
Well, I think if Brock Purdy is healthy, like if he clears all the tests he needs to and can throw the ball the way he needs to, I do believe he'll be the starter. I will say this, and this has persisted for a while. When the 49ers signed Sam Darnold early in free agency, gave him decent money, and considering like people have always just sort of been enamored with him around the league, for better or worse, despite the struggles, there are a lot of people around the league that think that he'll play meaningful snaps for San Francisco this year based on why they signed him, when they signed him, just some of the ability and that he's a perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense, that might actually bring out the best in him for once. And so I'm curious to see how that plays out. It's like a choose-your-own-adventure with them, too, because like Trey Lance, you know, the issue really, it seemed to be accuracy in the limited time that he played, but they still really do not know what they have. Like, even when you talk to people over there, they're like, he just has not played enough football to evaluate him. And he is a hard worker, and, you know, like he does a lot of good things that we still liked when we drafted him 2 years ago. They're just in a tough spot with it. So it really, like, if any of those three guys played snaps, it wouldn't shock me, but I would put Purdy as the one if he's healthy. That seems to be the case over there. But, like, there's a feeling that Darnold could be out on the field at some point and playing for that team in meaningful snaps.
So I'm going to ask you a sports talk radio question, Jeremy Fowler. You got to answer it. Was what I mean. Okay. So Darnold was signed as Purdy insurance or Lance insurance?
Ooh, I think both probably.
No. You're not allowed.
I'll go Purdy insurance.
Purdy insurance at the time, just in case he couldn't be ready. Because that's the whole point with Lance. You mentioned, again, that some people there saying we don't even know what we have in him. You got to play him in order to find out what you have in him. That's why finally the Packers decided to go with Jordan Love. They had to see what they have in him despite who they had. And it's amazing that Mr. Irrelevant, which obviously we still refer to Brock Purdy being the last pick in a draft as being, is going to be the guy. And I don't blame them because if you got a guy on a seventh round contract playing elite quarterback play, you got to go with that guy. So what happens to Lance if Purdy's healthy and they're like, we're going to go with him, and Darnold is somebody that they think is perfect for the system? Do they just go with Lance sitting there as the third guy because they needed somebody who was the third guy last year?
It's tough to even imagine that because, like, you got a number three overall pick that you gave up three first-round picks for as your emergency quarterback in that case, which you can have now. If you got three guys on your active roster, new NFL rules, so you can have an emergency third quarterback. And in this scenario, that would be Trey Lance. I keep going back to this. Like, you know, the most important catalyst in San Francisco is Kyle Shanahan, right? It's really his baby for the most part. And, you know, just from what I heard when I asked about Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan, it's just Brock is in tune with Kyle. He does what Kyle wants. He runs the offense how he wants. Now, but he's got a ceiling, right? He doesn't have that huge arm and the big-time ability. Will Kyle tire of that eventually? I don't know. But they have so many weapons and a good offensive line and so many playmakers, it probably doesn't matter. But when Purdy's out there, you know what to expect. You know what he's going to do, and Kyle likes that. I mean, that's just my sense. And so because of that, I put him as QB1 when he's healthy. But that's a serious injury. So he's got some hurdles to clear here between now and, say, late August. And then you got Lance sitting there. I just don't sense there was a lot of trade movement. There wasn't any sort of significant offer where they could justify it. And so he's got 2 years left under his contract. They don't necessarily have to panic on it. They can wait. Maybe somebody makes a great offer. Maybe he plays in the preseason and does great, and then there's an offer in late October from a team that his quarterback got hurt at the trade deadline. Like, there's a lot of potential opportunities they can brace for if they do want to move on. But talking to other teams, they think like they'll probably move on eventually because there's no fifth-year option. Like they don't see San Francisco picking up that option for him. And so really you're looking at 2 more years under contract when you can try to get some value for him. But, yeah, it's a fascinating situation because I don't necessarily think he's done a bunch wrong where they're so down on him, but they just don't know what to expect, and Purdy's the better option right now.
Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, a few more minutes left with the NFL Insider. I'll ask you the question I've been asking everyone from our world coming on this program last week. What happened in Buffalo when Diggs was either sent packing or he left of his own volition or nothing really happened? He just left. What do you got for me there, Jeremy?
Well, the situation where you're trying to piece it together, nobody will spell it out. But what I know is that last game against Cincinnati, he walked out uneasy, was unhappy. That was clear to everybody there. And it seems like what happened on the field was certainly a part of that, with him not getting the ball in crucial situations. And then I was told in the offseason, hey, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have to have a conversation, a meaningful conversation. I think that happened when they were all there for minicamp. What was it, last week? I don't know, the weeks blend together now. But whenever they were there for minicamp, where Diggs was there and then he wasn't, that first Tuesday. And I believe they talked. I know the Bills had closed-door meetings with important people there with Diggs. When Sean McDermott went to the podium, things were still unresolved. And I think that's part of why the answers came out the way they did. And I was told pretty adamantly, though, that Diggs would not have been there for that minicamp practice on the field had he not felt they were in a little bit better of a place than they were before that Tuesday. So I do sense that things were positive, and I'm told the Bills fully expect him for training camp. Like, they don't necessarily expect any sort of funny business here. They believe they do have this resolved. To what extent, I don't know.
I'll be honest with you, Jeremy. I'm a little bit flabbergasted that again, piecing it all together from what you said, our friend Robert Griffin III last week, and everyone else who's come on this program, piecing it all together, it does appear that whatever happened in that playoff game against Cincinnati, the conversation required to put it to bed between Diggs and Allen sat undiscussed for months. Really? Like, no phone call, no FaceTiming, no literally what needed to be said between two guys who have both on this program talked about how much they love each other.
Yeah.
It went months without being resolved? For real?
Well, what I don't know is whether they had any sort of contact this offseason. I don't know that for sure.
Right.
That was the sentiment that I kept hearing. It's like, hey, these two just need to get in a room and talk. In the offseason, they were away, and Diggs wasn't at OTA. So if they talked, it was over the phone, text message, and I'm not privy to that. But there was a feeling like, okay, hey, when minicamp comes, these two need to get together. That was for sure, just to clear some things up. And Josh Allen hinted at that, saying that there were some non-football-related matters they had to discuss. So I don't know what the off-field dynamic is at all. Certainly there could be something there. I don't want to speculate. But, yeah, it does seem like there was some progress made.
And last one for you, Jeremy. What does a Burrow contract look like? Give it to me or Herbert. Yeah. Do we got percentage of cap? Can you do something like that? What do you got for me here, Jeremy?
Well, it's funny. You can't do that. Well, I guess you could, yes. But I know the league back in the CBA negotiations before, they were hoping for like a separate salary cap for like the top paid player. I think they'd still like that to get done maybe in 2030 when they negotiate again for this very reason, because the salaries are crazy. So the Bengals have gotten the ball rolling on talks. I believe they probably made some sort of preliminary offer. They are committed to doing it and made that clear. But I don't sense they're close at all because of the dynamics of something like this. Like, I just think it's going to take some time to get to where he's probably going to have to be the highest paid player in the league. I don't think there's much doubt about that unless he's just willing to be the team player and take a haircut on it. But I think from what I sense, the number of years will be an issue they got to hash out. The Bengals would like to do a longer contract, maybe not Mahomes long, like 10 years, but they'd like to be able to stretch this out and do a longer deal. Would Burrow go for that? I think right now they're probably in a deal that's too long, where he probably wants something more reasonable. So those are things they have to hash out. And really, Burrow, talking to other teams, they think Burrow could wait on Herbert. in L.A. Like, if Herbert can get his deal done first, then Burrow can just say, okay, well, that's the benchmark, and give me a little bit more than that, and then we'll all be happy.
All right. I love it. Of course, you talk to other teams. You've mentioned that many times, so I guess I'm mandated to sneak one more in here. Talking to other teams, what's the one team we're not talking about enough this year? What do you got
for me? As far as the quality of teams?
Yes, sir. Who are we not talking about enough that others are saying, look out for this one? Sleeper. What do you got for me? Jeremy Fowler.
Pick and sleeper. Hold on. I always have a Google list of NFL teams just so I can sift through it. Let's see.
Here you go.
Dolphins.
Why?
Dolphins.
Why is that?
They won 9 games with like a gazillion different quarterbacks last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, by the way, they had Jalen Ramsey, linebacker David Long, and Vic Fangio. So there's a sense that they could win that division, even though Buffalo's got all the hype and wins 12 games a year and all that. And hey, the Jets, look at the Jets are back. But, you know, the Dolphins, they might be the best team in that division. You know, Pittsburgh?
Nobody's talking about them. Pittsburgh. What are people saying about Pittsburgh? Just that
nobody's talking about Pittsburgh.
Right.
I mean, you know the defense is going to be good, and they got weapons. You know, if Kenny Pickett can just sort of manage it and keep playing well in the fourth quarter like he did.
What about an NFC team? What about an NFC team?
Let's see.
Anybody talk about the Rams? Anybody? They get healthy?
The Rams are actually really interesting because they have – somebody told me the other day they have 40 rookies on their 90-man roster, something like that. Like a crazy number of rookies. So
yeah.
It's clearly, at least on defense, a rebuild. But I was told, like, coming out of the offense and the OTAs, like, in minicamp, they feel like they're going to put up points. Like, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Okay.
Stafford's healthy now. Cup's healthy. And Jefferson's healthy. They got some young receivers they really like that nobody knows about. They're in a weird spot, and they're kind of rebuilding. But I definitely don't think it's going to be a tank situation. I think they're going to put up points, and McVay likes that they got humbled a little bit. I sense that.
Okay, Jeremy Fowler. Thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. Let's do this more often if you're willing. Thanks for the call. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime, Rich. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, sir. That's Jeremy Fowler right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 40 rookies in Los Angeles. Look out.
That's a lot.
Can they just stay in Thousand Oaks and have a curfew? Seriously. They're not allowed. Yeah. They're not allowed to come south of Santa Clarita. That's the line. Wow. They have to go over the mountain just to get to wherever they want to go. Send them north and say you can't come south of Santa Clarita. 40 rookies in Los Angeles. No thank you.
Wow.
No thank you.
They have to turn in their cell phones at 10 o'clock each night.
Right. Right. They gotta learn how to be a doula one for McVay's new kid.
Yeah.
Just to keep them locked in.
Yeah, that's a free babysitting, I mean. That's a plus.
Dude, I don't think you want any NFL players babysitting a newborn.
Okay? Why? Some of them have newborns.
No. I'll just tell you this, man. I told you, look out for those Rams. You better hold on to your tickets, Chris.
I don't know what you're doing.
Hold on to your tickets.
I disagree.
We talking playoffs or
what? I don't know about that. Well, I mean, the NFC's wide open. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Hour number two. Guess what? We've got Overreaction Monday coming up.
Hey-o.
We also have my top five most juicy Super Bowl matchups of the year. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? Are you going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
The caller there right now here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who is this person? Hello?
Hello, Rich. This is a guy that's not all that keen on French fries, but I want to tell you happy birthday.
Oh, my God.
Happy birthday to you. No, I'm going to sing a happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, old Richie. Happy birthday to you and a whole lot more. It is your old pal, Joe Willie, roll tide and go Jets, man.
Joe, this is the greatest thing of all time. Thank you for doing this. How you doing?
I'm a fan. I've known you for a long time, and all of a sudden you've lived a long time, and I hope you live a whole lot longer, too.
Oh, my God, Joe. You don't have no idea what this means to me right now to get a call from you on my birthday. You know, I mean, thank you so much. I don't even know how to say it.
As one of your fans, you've got millions of fans out there these days, man. So keep up the good work. I love listening to you.
Thank
you. And seeing you on occasion.
I appreciate that, you know, because, you know, I was born the year you won the Super Bowl, Joe. That's the year I was born.
That was a good year. You see that? That was a very good year.
It was a good year and a day in the life. It was a good year and a day in the life for sure. But, you know, I'd love to be able to not have to say that, right? I'd love to be able to talk about some other championship other than that, Joe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that may come about. So once again, man, I don't want to take your time up here much. I know you're talking about some important things, but I love you. Happy
Thanks,
birthday,
Joe.
And I look forward to seeing you around camp.
And now I get Ray Lucas calling me on my birthday. What's gone on my life? Hey, everybody, back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Better than Rich Kotite.
That's right. Jimmy in San Antonio back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Jimmy?
Todo bien. ¿Qué pasó, hermanos?
We're hanging in there. What's going on with you?
Just got back from a destination wedding in Cancun.
Did you get a gift? Not bad.
It was one of the worst groomsmen gifts ever. And I've been friends with him for 40 years.
Oh.
His third marriage. But only a second wife. So he did the first wife twice by marrying her, divorced.
Okay,
her.
So two things here, Jimmy. First of all, I know there's an I in Jimmy. I didn't mean did you get a gift from, but now that you mentioned that, what was the groomsman gift? What was it?
Monogrammed leather suspenders for the outfit.
That's terrible.
Suspenders. When am I going to wear?
Yeah, literally something
again?
You're only wearing once.
What is that? You're not like Larry King, are you? Who else is a famous suspenders wearer? Ronald McDonald? Who else? What else we got?
Mr. Peanut.
Who else?
Urkel.
Urkel.
Good one.
I mean, they're sharp. They're really nice.
No,
but
I'm wondering.
I'm going to wear them again.
Did you get a gift for them? Because you know
no,
the way I feel no. about destination
no.
weddings, right? You know that.
Yeah.
Correct.
No, I did not. That was a $2,000 vacation I did not ask for.
Yes, exactly. Your presence is your present. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, didn't bring a damn thing for them.
We can go home now.
Thank you very much. So where did you're our San Antonio expert. What restaurant was that photograph of Wemby and everyone else from Spurs Mount Rushmore taken?
I believe it was Bliss, and Michelle should be able to confirm this.
Okay.
I've seen her dine there before.
Okay. Okay.
Her and I have mutual friends through media connections, but I believe it was Bliss, and that Pop organized the whole dinner and called Manu and Sean and everybody to dine.
So that he's just declined to be in the photograph? Or he took it? Did he take it?
I think so.
Okay.
And guess who paid for it? You know, Pop paid for it. Those are like his sons. He's not going to let them buy, you know, the dinner. I think Pop paid for it.
Okay. These are all questions. Thank you, Jimmy. Greatly appreciate it. I always love when Jimmy calls. There you go.
By the way, this place is nice.
I bet.
Holy smokes.
That may be one of my favorite top five segments in the history of this program was Larry David being asked about destination weddings and his thoughts to try and confirm my belief that you do not get a gift for a destination wedding couple if you're flying somewhere and you're putting yourself up.
Well, he was like, don't even go.
Well, he said he doesn't even go. And I asked him, how far must the wedding be from your house to decide?
90-minute drive.
He said 90 minutes by car was as far as he would go for a wedding, period. He said, don't even send him the invitation.
Doesn't he want it?
It made it even funnier because I think most of us, when deciding if we're going to go anywhere, it has a lot of financial consideration. Larry does not have that problem.
Right. I think it's a principle matter.
Total principle, but no financial ramification. Like, if I go to a destination wedding, I got to worry, well, man, am I going to pay rent? Can I do this or that? Larry does not have these
Come to think of it, longtime Seinfeld writer and now Curb Your Enthusiasm executive producer, director, and writer, and everything. Jeff Schaefer had a destination wedding, and I don't recall Larry being there.
Were you there?
I was.
Oh.
That's how I would know.
Okay. So whether you don't have those, those considerations either.
They had a they had a wedding in Mexico, and I didn't see Larry there.
Was Seinfeld there?
No. No. Alec Berg, who is also Curb and Seinfeld alum now. Silicon Valley and Barry?
Everything.
Just two other, everything.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. We played golf. He used a range finder from the fringe of the green. Yes.
Hey,
he's on the fringe, ready to chip towards, you know, it was a large green.
Sure, but he looks in and it says 12.
It was for yards, yes, because now you're measuring in feet. Right. I've never seen another human being do that. Oh, did I give him grief on the spot, rest of the weekend, at the affair, at the wedding, the whole thing.
That's psychotic.
He turns to me and goes, it's far away. He needs to know how many, you know, feet. He would do the math in his head from feet to yards. And I'm like, dude, that's insane. I'm like, is there a jacket on the line today? Is there a claret jug on the line? I felt like I was Seinfeld. Is there a jug? Is there a jacket?
Did you give a gift?
A gift?
Yeah.
Of course we did, because Susie's like, we have to give a gift. And the entire time, I'm like, this is our gift. We're here.
We flew here.
I know.
Yeah.
Of course we gave a gift.
Well, I'm saying, you said you wouldn't give a gift. And,
come on. Yeah. I'm still pissed. And I love Jeff, you know, and his wife Jackie and whatever. It was a beautiful affair. I'm still digging out.
Man, oh, man.
I don't know. I'm just joking. Hour two coming up.
I'm looking at this Bliss private dining option.
Yeah, they had to have gone private dining, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need a
back
room.
Beatles going to give us the whole scoop.
You know.
She's going to give us the whole scoop. She might have even been there.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Now, she's tight with the Spurs organization. She's part of their broadcast.
On the broadcast team now. It's awesome.
I know. So.
All right.
What do you got?
No, I was just like, all right.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He was trying to put a button on it.
I was like, that's the end.
Of what?
He was ready to move on, is what he said.
We can't be. We're still on the air.
I'm booked.
What can you get there?
Oh, a nice $200 bottle of red.
Oh, that's nothing for Pop.
No, I understand, but look good.
Okay. At any rate, coming up next hour, we've got Overreaction Monday. Jeremy Fowler just said something about the Burrow contract that kind of leaps out at me. That's something that needs to get done, by the way, in the next few weeks. Can you imagine they go into the season and Joe Burrow hasn't gotten a new contract yet?
I don't think he'd be worried about it, though. He's not mentioning Holden like some other guy.
That's because it's a different scenario. He's a different cat.
He's a winner.
But he also wants to get paid, pal. This is time. Hey, Kyler Murray gets paid. By the way, look what I have. Hoskins found this relic, including Susie's makeup lipstick. She used it to blot her lipstick sitting in for me one time. It's not my lipstick.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine, a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.